Welcome to Magical Baddies, the realest podcast on all things mystical, magical, and spiritual. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Leah.
And we are your hosts. I like that I open it and you always do a yay.
Yay.
All right. So today's theme is whether or not there are good or bad choices, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we both get that question a lot.
Yeah.
In our own one-on-one offerings. And I see it a lot, like even like in my DMs and online.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a good one to unload.
Yeah. I think one of the ways this topic comes up a lot is getting asked, am I on the right path? I feel like that is a question that gets asked almost all the time. And or people wanting confirmation or affirmation that what they're doing is the right thing. And to me, the subtext of that is basically like, did I choose right? Did I choose good? Did I make a bad choice? Did I make a good choice? And they want the feedback. And I'm saying they, but I include myself too. Like I definitely, you know, I'm like everyone, doubt the things I've chosen, or did I pick the right thing? Did I go for the right thing? So I think this is a big, big concern and a big topic for everybody, whether you're in the spiritual world or not.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely, whenever I get readings from someone else, it's a outside perspective of whether or not this is a good direction.
Yeah.
Or what is the direction? And I think it's all the Asians validation.
Yeah.
Like all of it, which is a very human thing. But I also feel that you touched on this, and I think we should kick off with this, is that some clients and some people almost feel like they have to like prove, like I want to do good, right? And so there's a lot of people that I get that are like, I've been on this spiritual journey or whatever, and I want to do it the right way. But like ultimately, what is the right way?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's just, what is your way?
Yeah.
And I think that's ultimately what we discover as we like roll down this road of self-discovery and spiritual, because self-discovery and spiritual discovery is the same thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I read a quote, I'm going to butcher it, but I really feel this way. It's like, when we look to the all-powerful or God or whatever we want to call the universe, we're not looking, we have to remember, like, who is your God? Like, is your God somebody that is in control? So you want to be like subservient and you want to be like a good follower? Or is your God looking for a partner? And I think that we have to remember, and I think one of the most powerful things that I've ever learned is that you are co-collaborative with the universe around you. I think in finding that perception or that context, it kind of like takes the pressure off. And it also returns some of the power to you. Because like, I don't know, like you can still make a bad decision, but you're here because of, if you believe in that sector, you would believe as well that you're here because of that all powerful feeling notion energy. So
I approach this from like my own experience growing up with the, you know, like I definitely grew up with like having been taught that I'm just not good enough. So I have to demonstrate that I'm good enough through like the grades that I earn, if I kept my room clean. But there is always like, I was always being fed messages that like nobody wants to hear you talk, so just stay quiet. Or like, you know, nobody wants to see your body, so cover up. Like, you know, like there's something inherently deficient about you. And so you have to do all these things around it to make yourself just like hit zero, not even like be above zero, but like just to come up to that like neutral level. That was like my upbringing. And so for me, coming to the realization or coming into an awakening of like, oh, we're all good, actually, is very personal for me. And it had to start with my own, like, I almost feel like I had to go there first and see if this could actually be true before I could start espousing this to clients or students. Like, I couldn't say this without believing it, because it's so deeply personal. And I think it's so personal to everyone that, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I completely feel from where you're coming from. I mean, not to be like stereotypical, but like, especially growing up in an Asian household, you know, it's like nothing is ever good enough.
Yeah.
Ever. And you get trained to like try so hard to do the things that your parent wants you to do to like deserve love or like a pat on the back or anything. But like, it's never good enough. It's always, even if you get like an A, it's always like, well, this person's kid got the higher grade or whatever. Yeah. And
did you get 98% or 100%? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it you know, it's that. And it's like, your mom was fat, so you're going to be fat. Yeah. And like, so you get kind of programmed into this. And if we want to talk like microcosm, macrocosm, like your parents kind of represent that like higher power, right? For a really long time.
For sure.
And so like, I think we naturally become programmed into thinking that like whatever this higher power is wants us to prove ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So like, so then we like go on this, I hate this word, journey, but we go on this journey to like, what can I do to prove that I'm trying to be a good being, a good person, and I'm on this path? And, you know, ultimately, I think what it comes down to is like deprogramming all together. And so I think that like, at least from my understanding and like being friends with you and being close with you, when you talk about like decolonialization, it's not like what we see on the internet that's like, you know, we're reclaiming our indigenous rights and you know, all of that. It's deprogramming ourselves from society and from the programming that begets programming that begets programming.
Right.
And what is like the internal program that we're supposed to activate? And I think like that is for sure how I always felt about spirituality and this thing that we do, like it's the mafia, like our thing, like the Costa Nostra, like this thing of ours. But
we're in the family,
we're in the family. You're not for nothing, but you're doing it all wrong. No, I don't know why I turned into Christopher Walken, you know, and then I realized, well, if that's what decolonialization is, then that's like the mantra I'm kind of looking at too. So like, I think that that's like ultimately what we're looking at, right? We're just like completely deprogramming ourselves from this idea of like work hard, gain hard, which is also like a systematic thing that American society has like really put into Like I literally just got off of FaceTime with my friend who was like, you know, he's a flight attendant and he also works in a restaurant. And he's like, and then I feel like so guilty if I sit around and do nothing. And I'm like, that's not you.
Yeah.
That is the society at large. Yeah. That is, so you got to give yourself permission. Yeah. So anyways, I think that like, when we go into this thinking like, what if I do this wrong? You know, ultimately what I believe in my experience is that there are no wrong choices. You make the choice that puts you on the path that allows you the opportunity to learn, to grow empathy, to have grace, to you know, and like you can't do that if everything is good all the time.
Right.
And so I think like we're gonna dive into this like when I come back from maternity leave, But this is kind of like the root of like good versus evil, right?
Yeah.
Like there's two parts to all of this. And if one is just all light all the time, then we're never going to learn how much, like, you know, how much we can be ensconced in the shade. It just seems scary because it's dark.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're talking about is literally has a term. It's called coloniality of being. It was coined by a guy, Maldonado Torres, in a 2007 article. And it's essentially like the way I describe it in my classes, it's like it's the lasting impact that the colonial like paradigm has in our bodies, in our knowledge systems, in our ways of being, in our like our life ways. And it's the thing, and for us in the Western world, especially the United States, we are designed from birth to be producers of capital. So like you're not born neutral as in the eyes of the state, you're born as like a potential like person that will plug into the cog of the economy, like the cogs of the economy. And so that is overlaid with worth. And so like we then internalize it and we start to wonder about if we have personal worth based on how we can demonstrate what we've done, like, did I earn enough? Did I work hard enough? Have I, you know, and it gets to the point, and this is like where I'm really fascinated by this, like where we waylay our desires because desires are superfluous. They're extra in a capital producing economy. There's no time for your desires. You got to be working and grinding. That's how you'll know you're good. And yeah, you're spot on that. Like, and this is like, for me, again, I feel like I say this every single time we talk, but like spirituality is not shit if it's not also evaluating the ontology, the reality of like colonialism as we perform it all the time. Like, I don't want to be a part of a spirituality or a psychology that just like gets me back to work or like, you know, let's just bandage you up and get you back out there when that isn't necessarily the like desire of my soul for this lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was something else you were saying and I lost it. I'm going to take notes.
I think like the spirituality or the psychology of the status quo, like always makes me wonder like whose status though, who's setting that status quo.
Yeah.
And I think that you kind of have to think about that.
Yeah.
Like whose status quo, whose path are you following? Is it a template that's been laid out for you or is it yours? And I think that that's why like sometimes there's going to be people out there that are going to hate this, which I really think this is a good concept. I think we should have somebody who does human design on to try to like talk me into it, because this is why I don't believe in human design. I don't think somebody else telling me the template of how I am designed works for me, because who are you to tell me what my template is? Because I don't even know it. So I think that, maybe that was like too directed, but I don't like anybody telling me what to do.
If you haven't met Sophia.
No, but I think so with that being said, like who is objectively looking at your choice as the right or wrong choice, you know? And I'm talking about like choices that you get for like the basic person that, you know, sets up an appointment with one of us and they're like, should I break up with him? Should I not? Should I take this job? Should I not? You know, we're talking about like, and you know, we can evolve that into bigger questions. Like, am I on the right path? That is such a big thing to unload.
Yeah.
Like what makes you feel like you're on the wrong path because things are going wrong? Like those are opportunities. And I think that like in my, like even from my own personal experience, like, you know, I was a drug addict for a really long time. Was that bad choices? Maybe on some level, but I learned so much. And from it, you know, I made some good choices. I learned empathy. I understand. And I can like look at people like my sister or other people that struggle with addiction, and sort of like, there's no judgment or no like expectation of like, why can't you do this right?
Yeah.
I understand that it's a struggle.
Yeah.
So I think that there's an opportunity there. There's empathy there. There's grace there. There's so much good that hides in the shadow of like what we call bad. But like, I think it's really important for us to go forward and try it out, you know? Like, one question we got when we were like talking about the Akashic Records, and I think that no matter what episode, what theme we do it, we're always going to look through things through an Akashic lens, because that's just what we do.
Yeah.
But somebody said something to the effect of like, do the Akashic Records like ever lead you to bad choices, or do they hold back information on purpose, or something to that effect? Or maybe those were two different questions, but I think that simultaneously they adhere to this theme, right? Yeah. And I think that sometimes, like, one thing I will say about like being held back or information being held back is like, I really am going to press this into this program as much as I can. Sometimes it's just not about the intellect.
Yeah.
And we really have to take that out. So like, it's not always about your mind. It's not always about what you think. It's not always about how you process, because we are so many systems in one.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're just not in a place to understand. So like, when you look back at your life, right? And say like, coming up to it, you get all these signs, synchronicities, dreams, whatever, and you write everything down. And like, this is the common thing I get with a lot of my clients. They're like, this happened and this happened, and this happened. So I'm just trying to figure out, what does it mean? And I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you have to learn the language of your spiritual ecosystem. Once you do, you start to understand what those messages, what they are. But when you look in retrospect, you see it lines up seamlessly. So I think that like, when you are questioning all of that leading up to it, it becomes about the intellect and not about the experience.
Right.
And we can only gain confidence and learn through experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can read as much as you want, but until you actually adhere it to your own life, it's not going to matter. And so like, I think that the Akasha or spirit or whoever withholds information because like, intellectually speaking, you're not ready for it, but somewhere else you are. So it's not always about like what is present. It's sometimes what's going on behind the scenes. And then I think that, you know, I've even heard this when we were taking our teacher training, like somebody was saying like, oh, they led me to this house and it was wrong. And I was like, why would you lead me to the wrong house? And I'm thinking like, that wasn't wrong. Like,
it's the right house for something.
It's the right house for something. Right. So, so I think that's what we mean about like good choices and bad choices. And I just don't really believe that there are bad or good choices. Now, we can talk about like the bigger things, like someone decides to like, do something egregious or evil or whatever, but like, ultimately those are the choices for their path, right? Not anyone else's path. So I think there's like a judgment that goes through there, and whether or not like there's plenty of stuff I think is evil or bad out there, but I know ultimately that's for those, like, if I look through it through an Akashic lens, I know that those things have to happen. Because it is a point of perspective, and everyone's path is individual. But
I am maybe just in a weird headspace, but I'm gonna just, and no, I'm not. This is actually like what I study and what I believe, but like, it's coming through weirdly right now. I'm not even convinced anymore that we are individuals. In a lot of the stuff I read, and what's starting to make sense to me, and one of the awakenings I had during the pandemic, is that I don't exist. Like, I think I was having like an awareness of outside of time when this happened, where I was like, yes, the body of Leah is here. Leah is an entity that people can point to and talk to. Leah has a phone number that can be called and you can receive Leah on the other line of that end of that line. Leah has an Instagram. Leah likes to eat, you know, ice cream. Like, Leah is somewhat a sturdy existing creature. And at the same time, I am a body that is like a host to like 75% non-human microbes. I have a gut flora. I have like, you know, things that live on my skin that didn't originate in my body. I'm like, my whole body is a community of other things also at the same time. And even beyond that, I'm a blip of an iteration of this long thing called a soul. And there are other iterations of this soul happening at the same time. And so like, how strong is the nature of Leah as a sturdy, dependable, reliable reality? And I was at that point, I was like, it's not very strong. It's like, sure, yeah, I have Leah and has preferences, but what I perceived before having this awakening, what I thought before I had this awakening was like, everything I think and do is the only thing that matters. And I better, the stakes are very high. I need to make the right choice. I didn't factor in, you know, there's been a study recently, there have been some, many studies that are saying that when you're hungry, the gut flora is sending a hormone to your brain to give you the signal of hunger. Hunger isn't actually originating in your brain from you. Something foreign that lives in your body is actually telling you you're hungry. And that really made me start thinking about like, then who's driving the car? Who's Leah then? Who, yeah. If, you know, if these decisions are, I think that they're me because I grew up in the cogito ergo sum, you know, modernist Cartesian, like Western colonial world that tells you you're an individual. What do you like? What are your grades? How good are you? Blah, blah, blah. I just started to like, it just started to dissolve. So that is one thing that when that I think about a lot when it comes down to decision-making. And for me, it gives me a lot of relief because then it's like, oh, the stakes are actually not that high for me as the individual to make the right choice. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just this fluid community that's constantly in a co-creative relationship with everything around me. I'm going to make the choice that's right for the moment. And maybe later I'll make a different choice. And maybe after that, I'll make a whole different choice. And that just like gives me a lot of relief. Like, oh my God, I don't need to make the right choice every single time.
Yeah.
But another thing that you mentioned, and I think that like comes up a lot when we're talking to clients is like around the right choice is like part of our culture is to have a real aversion to discomfort and pain. Mm-hmm. And so you could make like a quote unquote bad choice and it's not a bad choice. It's exactly right for, mm-hmm. for what you are meant to go through, but it's painful or it's uncomfortable. So we're like, oh, this must be wrong. And, yeah. And if we can like learn that, like, I'm not saying that we need to like love and enjoy pain. That's not what I'm saying. But like, if we can't
shout out masochism, if like, you guys are into that,
shout out. if we can like learn to not throw out the whole experience simply because it's uncomfortable and be like, okay, this is uncomfortable. Yes. But like, what are the Easter eggs here? Like what is, totally. What's here for me?
Shout out, yeah. Jesus.
Shout out Jesus.
Shout out Astera. So it's interesting because, you know, what I really love about like, you know, hanging out with Leah is that we come from like two very different backgrounds, but I get to see, this is like me nerding out, I get to see kind of how things weave. So like in my studies of Allan Kardec, what he talks about or what the spirit talks about is the paraspirit. And so like this body is an envelope and this body holds the quote individual. But if you rise above that, the paraspirit that is put into the envelope is so much like more wider than, yeah. you know, what we perceive as an individual. And yeah. they try to kind of break this down into how we can understand it, but it's a really complicated concept. But does it have like the same predisposed like individual thoughts that we may have while we're in the envelope? Yeah. Yes, of course. But are there other things connected to it? Yes, of course. So, yeah. You know, I think that that's some things that I find that I know to be true because I feel it. It's so resonant is like how multiple people will be like, oh, I was this person in a past lifetime.
Yeah.
Well, there were like parts of you that were parts of them during a parts of a time period, you know, so that all makes sense to me. And I think that if you see that's, you know, when they say like, we're all connected, yes, in the physical, like day to day, it does connect. Like you make a choice here, you go to McDonald's, your stomach hurts. Now we can't go to the show because you ate the wrong thing. And like, you know, we are connected in that way, but we're also connected in this like bigger, like mystical net. And that's like the only way I can like, really describe it. Happens to me a lot.
I'm just a really quick tangent because you guys want all the private stuff. I got invited by a friend. I didn't want to do this. I don't love this band, but she had an extra ticket to see Tool in San Francisco. And I was like, all right, I'll go. And I got off work. I took the BART. Yeah, I was like, I took the BART to like where this was at the Bill Graham Auditorium or whatever in San Francisco. And I was like, hadn't eaten since like 10 a.m. So I was like, oh, cool, Burger King. I will eat two cheeseburgers, like they're little cheeseburgers, and just pack them in. I get into the show, beeline for the bathroom, diarrhea for like the whole night. It was so shitty, literally. Shitty. I made a bad choice, but it was kind of a good choice because I didn't want to be in that thing anyway. There were no chairs. I just stand. It was just like, yeah.
So. Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that before we started this, I told Leah we should talk more about our own experiences with that choice.
There you go.
There you go. So, you know, I think we're connected in that way. Thank you for messing up my train of thought. But anyways, I concur.
Yeah.
God, you fucked me up. I don't know where
I'm sorry. The Akashic Records call the soul a string cheese to me. Have I ever told you that?
You have told me that. The way they showed it to me was like this like fishing net. And so at the intersections of every fishing net is like a light. And there's like, if you move far away from it, it just looks like one beaming light. And when you come up close to it, you can see the separations, but the connections to each light.
That's, and they're like, so poetic and beautiful. Mine is a string cheese.
Yeah. Well, essentially they were like, she's such a Monet.
You're not gonna get that
if you're not a millennial.
Over the age of 35.
Yeah, you're not gonna get that. Anyways, let me figure out where I was going with
sorry for my shitty interjection.
It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Well, you were saying the parasol.
Yeah. So, you know, I had like another point I was going to like divvy out to that, but.
About the individual versus the bigger experience of the parasol.
So I concur with what you were saying, you know, like I do think it takes a lot of the pressure off when you think about it. But I think ultimately a lot of us are so anchored into our envelope that a lot of people don't think that way. Right. Yeah. And so like, how can we take the pressure off of ourselves about whether we're not making good or bad choices? And again, like Leah and I are both like very experienced. We've been doing this a while. We're very educated. And both of us are like, I don't know. There's so many times you and I have conversations. We're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm 3 weeks out and I don't know what I'm naming my baby. So like, I don't know what's the good or bad choice here. You know, like I just can't name her Lucy because she'll be Lucy Horniak and, you know, poor child. So that would be a bad decision.
That's a cute name.
I know, but
that's really cute.
So I think that takes a lot of, it does take a lot of pressure, but like, how do we take the pressure off of ourselves when we're anchored into this envelope? Right.
Yeah.
And I think that, oh, When we talk about like pain and the fear of things are going bad or whatever, a lot of the times when I'm talking to my clients, I always say to them, like, look to your past, your own past. What have you been, you know, through? And did you live through it? You're quite resilient.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that like a lot of us who are on this journey, like have gone through some shit, but we've gone through some shit for a reason.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like, not that necessarily everything has a reason, but I do feel that those strengths and the resilience that we gain from that, like, you know, this goes back to like the whole trauma field. Like, we've all been through shit. And I don't really necessarily believe in healing, because you can't erase, or this idea of like erasing the pain that we have been through.
Right.
But we can look to it as a source of strength and resilience. Yeah. And so, like, so what if you make the wrong decision and you get your heart broken, or you find yourself hating the job or whatever? Then we look at it as an opportunity. Now I know what I don't want in a job. Now I know what I do expect. Now I know my worth. Now I know, you know, whatever. So, you know, even in my personal, my own shit that I've been going through, like I've been going through the mother wound all over again. It is a very painful point of pain for me. I don't know how else to word it.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking today, like when I saw the picture of me and my mom, and I saw like how much tenderness there was and how much love there was. And I've never seen ourselves like that.
Yeah.
Both of us, you know, I've always looked at it from my point of view of like, I was abandoned, she gave me up, whatever. And now I see it from her point of view of like, she loved me, she didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
She was in an extremely abusive relationship. She was dealing with postpartum. She was very young and uneducated. Like, my mom didn't get past sixth grade. So she didn't know, you know, and in seeing that picture and just sitting in that pain. And I remember I asked Leah to open my records for me. I asked Leah to talk me through it. And it's both, it, you said, like, if you can just sit with this, you know, you can go through it. And I just sat with that pain.
Yeah.
And without expecting any answer, and seeing that picture that my dad sent me from Vietnam, and now I'm like, we lost so much time.
Yeah.
You know, I've lost so much time. I've spent so much time being mad and being hurt and being angry. And we could have filled that time with love. And now I'm like, how do I fill that time with what we have left, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't change our relationship, but it changes my perspective.
Yeah.
And so sometimes sitting with the pain, or sitting with ourselves, or being in like a quote bad situation or a painful situation, can really, if you're willing to take the strength to just take a step back and be willing or open to have another perspective than what you have. So, like, you know, one thing I see on the internet a lot is like letting go of the stories we tell ourselves, letting go. Yeah. It's time to shed this thing. Every full moon, every new moon, it's always like this thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's not about like, okay, I have decided this friend is so shitty and I'm going to let go of them. Sorry, I'm pregnant and a little burpy. It's it's letting go of the stories we tell ourselves and being open to maybe hearing a different story. And another thing I've noticed a lot in the like movies I've been watching, they have the same theme. And one of the themes, this is what I want to talk about. When we're talking about society at large, and we're talking about like Western society and not wanting to be in pain or not wanting to be hurt or whatever, one of the themes that I saw a lot in these movies is this like clawing towards the idea of purity.
Yes.
You know,
purity is a colonial construct.
Yeah. Right. And so what I found in these movies is, you know, in each movie that I watched, the men or anybody that was surrounding this person were like just obliterating them, calling them feral, like dirty sluts, whores, whatever. Like she's not, and ultimately these women had never done anything, had sex or whatever.
What kind of movies are you watching?
I don't know. Just kidding. It's happening. Just kidding. Well, just, you know, if you visit, don't go through my search engine. No, it's kidding. No, but I, you know, I just kind of like let whatever pick the movies for me. And I yeah. watch the themes and then I yeah. process the themes as it comes to me. So, and these are one of the themes.
Yeah.
But ultimately these, the theme is that these men, these people like are accusing them of not being pure because they're trying to just be themselves.
Right. Yeah.
And so we're faced with this, I think, at large in our day-to-day lives that like,
totally,
we're not good if we're being yeah. ourselves. Like I struggled yeah. with that myself, like, especially like working in beer, that's like totally male dominated, very like competitive. And you know, I'm an Aries rising. Like I say shit, like I do shit. I just move and I don't really give a shit how you feel about it because like yeah. I'm making money, you know? So like,
yeah,
I don't really care, but it would break my heart that everyone called me a bitch. They called me mean. They yeah. called me aggressive. Like, and it's just like, well, this is my nature. So I would like try to dumb it down and it would just cause so much friction yeah. internally. And it's just, that's not me. Like yeah. sometimes I come off as aggressive and abrasive, but like, I think it's kind of cool and badass that like, I don't really care too much.
Yeah.
I've learned tact since, yeah. but like I'm being me. And so I think, yeah. that, you know, a lot of us are trying so hard to fit this mold or this idea of like
yeah.
doing the right thing, being right, being good, being pure. But like, why don't we just fit the mold of ourselves and take a chance? The more you take yeah. a chance, I feel the payout is so much bigger and you yeah. get closer to yourself, which ultimately yeah. is closer to the spirit of whatever.
Yeah. You said something interesting that really pinged for me about feeling like you lost so much time, like realizing that you lost time with your mother. And I would say, no, you didn't. Because so like one of the things I really believe is that we're constantly trying to meet unmet needs. And so this period of time between your childhood to when you looked at this photo, you were meeting the need in the very best way that you could at the time, mm-hmm. whether it was keeping the distance or holding the, you know, contempt or the animosity or the anger, whatever it was, that was like the best thing you could do in the moment.
Sure.
And now you've like moved into another awareness or a newer, a more expanded consciousness or whatever has happened, whatever you have healed, that now your perspective is different. And I think this is like one of the annoying things to me about, not annoying, but like tricky things about doing Akashic work and having these experiences where you're like, oh, I can see outside of time, or I can, infinite timelines are possible, yeah. or like anything is possible, is that I actually don't think that's true. I think it's true in the like imaginal realm, like in the Akasha, like sure, there's all these things, but what we do, what ends up happening is actually the only choice that's available to us because of what we believe, what we know, what we think is possible in that moment. And the beauty part of us is that, like the amazing part about our lives is that we can shift and grow and change and learn new things and change our ideas and let new stories in. And then we can open up the doors to those other timelines. But like when we're in this one way, the only thing that's going to happen is what's going to happen. And so, yeah. But it's good because that's what makes sense to our bodies and to our belief systems and to like what our unmet needs. And so it's really hard to understand that when you are in the pain or discomfort. You're like, oh, I want something that's not painful. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. it's going to come if you can get to your why about this, which is And again, I don't want to like, I'm even like, and you say this a lot about like, I hate the idea of like a lesson. And I'm like, I more and more hate the idea of a lesson too. Like, as if there's like a goal, a benchmark to achieve or something about this moment.
Yeah.
Because that also is very capitalist too. And so, like, to me, that's like an overlay of capitalism onto like an explanation of the soul or the explanation of life. And so what if it isn't that? So like then, but then I feel like because we think in binary terms, we flip into like, well, if there's no lesson, then I'm just meant to like suffer. Like this is just needless pain. And I don't think that's true either.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
I think that like, and I always say this, language is so limiting, right? And so
Yeah.
like that's why a lot of times, like, I'll take the idea of lesson and I use the word opportunity because I
Yeah.
think it's that's really up to you what that opportunity is
Yeah.
going to be.
Yeah.
Like if you want to look at it as a lesson, if you want to look at it as whatever, but like even opportunity is not the right word for it.
Yeah.
So, these concepts are so much bigger than like who we are, what we are. We can't put it in an envelope, but we
Yeah.
have to
Yeah.
squish it in an envelope just the
Yeah.
best we can, the way that
Yeah.
we're squished into an envelope.
Yeah.
So, I think to like bring this back down to earth, when you're thinking about like when you're stuck in this idea of like, do I take this job? Do I not? Do I
Yeah.
think it really boils down to resonance. Like, what do you
Yeah,
feel in your
100%.
body? Like,
Yeah.
what feels good for you? And just
Yeah.
because it like feels really good and then it turns out bad, it doesn't mean you made a bad choice.
Yeah.
You chose it, not to be like
Yeah.
there's a reason for it, but like, I didn't go to college. I didn't like finish college, and it's one of my biggest regrets. There's a lot of stuff I didn't do. There's a lot of shit that happened in my life, but ultimately it led me to where I am now, and
Yeah.
I am so grateful for it.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of pain that I had to go
Yeah.
through. And it's not
Yeah.
that I had to go through, I just went through it. That's just how it rolled out.
Yeah.
So, if you squish that into that moment, that small blimp in time of like, this is horrible. I hate my job. I hate who I work with. I hate whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Take a chance.
Yeah.
Like, listen to
Yeah.
resonance. Resonance is going
Yeah.
to lead you to something else. And like, more and more and more, you start to recognize what you like, what you don't like, what you
Right.
desire, what you
Yeah.
whatever. And I think that that gives you those experiences, gives you the confidence to like make those choices and take those
Yeah.
chances, especially when we're squished into a society that like really tries so hard to bar us from making those big jumps.
Yeah. 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 One of the things that I really think about a lot, and the records helped me with this, and then I also read the book Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. Is this idea of unmet needs. And I really have come to this belief now that unmet needs are everything, that we are just walking bundles of unmet needs. Some of our unmet needs might be conscious to us, like aware, we are aware of them, but most of them are not. Most of them, we are unaware of what the actual need is. And, but as I dig into this and I apply like a decolonial lens to it, what I see are that needs are neutral, meaning obviously, like the example I gave in my Akashic mentorship was like, if I have a need to go to the bathroom and it's bad, maybe my need for dignity is lower and I'll just like pee on the street. Like, I just gotta pee. So, like, in that moment, my need to go pee and take care of my physical body is higher. It's not neutral, it's higher. It's more, it's raised up for me, and my need for dignity is down. But there's also a social valuing or valoration of needs where we would assign more social value to a person who respects their dignity and da 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 versus a person that would pee on the street. We would like mark them as like lower in value. Oh, gross. That's even against the law. So like what I'm saying is that socially, actually, that's a wrong system. All needs are neutral in value. So we respond to needs 100% based on like what we know, what resources we have available, what we believe, which needs are up the most for us. All of these factors come together to make us respond to our needs. And we respond in the only way possible. So this idea that like you could do less than your best, I don't think that that's possible. I don't think we ever can do less than our best. I think we only can do what is available in the moment. So I gave this example of like when I was teaching, this didn't actually happen, but I was like, I was a teacher. I remember thinking this, but I don't think I actually did it, but whatever. I was a teacher. I had been really hungry all day. I hadn't eaten and I had to go to like get gas or something. And I walked in to pay for the gas and there was like a thing of apples in the gas station, like market or whatever. And I was like in my head, like, I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to take this apple. So like in that moment, that was the best option available to me. But do I know that it's illegal to steal? Yes. Do I know that I have money, but my wallet's in the car or what, you know, like, do I know these other things, these consequences will happen? Yes. But maybe in that moment, that was the only thing available to me.
Right.
It doesn't make it a good or bad choice. I have to deal with whatever consequences of my action, which it, then usually the shame kicks in and they tell us you were bad, you did a bad thing. But actually, I disagree with that now. In the moment of making the choice, you make the best and only one available to you based on all these other factors. And to me, that's really important. And then from that moment, then we can work on like, okay, well, the consequences are this. How are you going to deal with that? And like, you know, like mm-hmm. then we have to deal with those things. But like this idea that like any decision is bad or like any decision could be bad. I just like, it doesn't even make logical sense to me anymore. Yeah. And the shame part is like the thing that will freeze us from ever listening to the resonance. Like, resonance to me is like a full body yes, full body no. It's not even like, and sometimes the yes feels good, but sometimes the yes feels bad. Sometimes the yes is like, I have to quit my job. It's going to be hard. Or I have to break up with this person. It's going to be hard. But that's resonance.
Right.
And so like, yeah, I had another point too, but I don't remember it. But yeah.
I do want to talk on something you touched on was resource. And something yeah. that I always tell my clients, you know, if we're breaking this down to boiling it down to your choice, think about your resources. And I'm not talking about just money. Like, think about your yeah. support system. Yeah. Think about your experience.
Yeah.
Think about like what you've been through. Think about like,
yeah.
say things go left, right? Like, yeah. is that the worst thing that could happen? Like, think about what your resources are yeah. to support your decision, because yeah. like we are all going to wrangle with decisions for the rest of right. our lives.
Right.
So like, I agree with you. I don't think there's any bad decisions.
Right.
Bad choices. You just do what you do because you do it.
Yeah.
And I believe in that because I feel that nature is perfect. Right. I yeah. feel like there's always like, even like it just as simple as like, we're seeding our lawn and we were talking to our neighbors and he was like, there's so much moss and it's everywhere. And I'm like, I love moss. Like, what's wrong with yeah. moss? Like,
yeah.
you know, like to him, he's like, this moss is terrible because it like covers up the grass area. And, it's invasive. Yeah. It's whatever. Me, I'm like, it's soft. And I can be like, the fae live here to like my yeah. little daughter. And you know, I don't mind moss. Like, so it can be like so two-sided yeah. for everything. So like, what are your resources? Like, fuck yeah. the neighbor, fuck everybody yeah. else. What are your resources? Yeah. And I think that's like really important if you're going to make some kind of informed decision, because ultimately we're going to have to wrangle with them. Yeah. And like, when you're talking about resonance, like I'll like, you know, in all of my studies, the thing that I've been struggling with the most is evil versus good. And honestly, we came to this topic because we were going to talk about this.
No, like, I will talk about it later.
Because it's, yeah, because it's heavy and there's so many departments yeah. we can go into. So we will touch yeah. on that. But good versus bad, evil versus good, whatever that is, you know.
Yeah.
When I met my husband, I was in a relationship. When I met my husband, he was in a relationship and they were happy. And well, I guess they weren't. They seemed like it, but like just from the outside perspective, right? When I met him
yeah.
once with her.
Yeah.
And people thought that about me and my significant other at the time, but it was yeah. not good. But when I met him, it was full body mind, everything, resonance, even though I knew this is a bad decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like,
or this is, like, this decision will bring about pain. This decision will be hard for people.
My
be
car rupturous. Is in yeah. this dude's name. We live in the same
yeah.
house. I have a kid yeah. now. Like, you know, it's yeah. not his kid, but like now I'm breaking up like my son's system of,
yeah.
of normalcy. Yeah. Like, you know, it felt wrong, but it was the most right thing I could have done in my life.
Yeah.
And I do not regret it. And like, you know, so what is the bad, right? Like what,
yeah.
who is the bad? Who is saying that this is bad? You know, so like you could easily say like I was a home wrecker or whatever, or vice versa, but like, I don't know. We're really, really
Yeah.
happy. And
Yeah.
it's obvious. And, you know, even like you and Shannon were like, no, when you see you two, that's like lifetimes or whatever. So,
Yeah.
so like that resonance, that decision, whatever, like what is making you feel like it's bad?
Yeah.
Because does it feel
Society.
right to you?
Shame. Colonialism.
Shame.
Your parents.
Shame.
Your shitty neighbor. Yeah. No, I know there's so much to say about this. Like the decision truly is only one. It's only one part in the bigger, like, sphere of the event. So like your example is a really good example of like, you know, I'm actually in this, now that I think about it, I'm like, I am kind of in a similar situation. I got together with my partner, but one of my friends was actually trying to go for him and he didn't like her. That just sounds like gossip, but like,
oh, I love to gossip.
I mean, it's
tell
not
me
gossip. It
no,
like
sure.
That wasn't a good match, but they were like, well, we don't have anything else going on. Let's try this. And somehow, I mean, I'm not going to get into the mechanics of how we met, but like I came into the picture and was like, don't do that. You don't even like her. Come visit me if you have this time off. They got into a fight and we were just friends, but it just resonated. It just, yeah. It was resonant. And that ended my friendship with that person. It ended his friendship with that person. It was a painful thing, but now, you know, almost 20 years later, we're together. God damn it.
I mean, know your point. I get right. your point. Yeah.
Like it wasn't just for being like a Tasmanian devil and spinning up people's sure. lives and bouncing and just causing havoc. And even then that wouldn't be a bad decision. So like the second part of the phase of the, like the part of the event is like the consequences. And we're not even talking about that yet in this conversation. We have to, consequences are separate, but like, is our fear of the consequences going to freeze us from doing the resonant path? Is
right.
the fear of like, I will be bad if I do this, stopping us from the thing that like your soul has designed for you to experience maybe in this lifetime?
Right.
And I don't want that for anyone. I want us to be like courageous and brave that like, look, this might be a painful thing I'm about to do, but I can't not do it. I have to see what's on the other side of this.
Yeah. I also want to point out like, what is like the notion behind it too, right?
Yeah.
So like in my situation, like I had to think long and hard about it, and we both did. We both wrangled with it. Like it was like kismet, like but we both wrangled with it. And yeah, a lot of it was shame and are we wrong? And these people are good people and like whatever. But the other part of it was like, you know, I knew people that like just did this shit for fun, you know, like you meet people like that. And I'm like, am I this person? Am I bored? And that's why I'm doing this, like whatever. Yeah. But I had to like recognize that like, no, he feels the same way. No, this isn't something I would normally
this
do.
This is something like, bigger than just you individually.
Right. Yeah. So like, that's what I'm talking about. Like getting to know yourself and like getting closer to yourself and understanding yourself. If you know you are predisposed to like starting shit and stirring shit, and you're like, is this a bad choice? Yes or no? Okay, so like, let's take ourselves out of this situation. Is this a pattern? is this, and this goes with like good stuff too, or good stuff. Are you predisposed to like do things that are like less harmful because you're afraid?
Yeah.
Or like, are you predisposed to doing things that are harmful because it is comfortable?
Yeah.
Like, get out. I think like some of this is pushing us towards getting out of our comfort zone.
Right.
And I think when we get out of our comfort zone, that's when there's like opportunities everywhere to like learn to like, you know, exercise whatever grace or strength, or learn how to use our voice or whatever that thing can be, you know? And I think that like, you know, you're essentially looking to your resources and making informed decisions on like how you know yourself the best. And if you don't know yourself the best, then like maybe shit's going to be painful. So you can learn yourself the best.
Yeah.
Like that's the only, you know, not to be like whatever, but like a lot of us are here for a long time, right? And I just like to say that it's just because we're slow learners. So like we like to learn the hard way. So I mean, I don't believe that there are good or bad choices. I don't believe that the Akasha necessarily holds things from us. Like it is a wealth of information, but again, like I don't even necessarily believe that it's just a space for us to get information or for it to be intellectually driven. Like get out of your fucking brains sometimes and just go with like your gut.
I totally agree. Even so, I just want to, if there are any listeners out there who are just fucking up relationships for fun and that's their pattern, you have to deal with the consequences of your actions, yes. But I would say even those behaviors are not because you're bad or making bad choices. You're trying to meet an unmet need. And for some reason, that's the best way you know how to meet it, whatever that need is in that moment. And the goal is that maybe you learn to meet that need in a way that is less damaging to your relationships or less harmful to your self-esteem or, you know, some other way. But yeah, it's not. Even the worst. Or
somebody puts you in your fucking place and you learn boundaries. Like, you know, like, and that sucks too. But then you have to take a long, hard look at yourself. So ultimately, like, I don't think that those are like, listen, if that happened to me, we have a problem. But then there's also the Akashic lens of me that I'm like, this person's doing this because like they have no self-esteem. They're trying to find it somewhere. Like I kind of feel for them. So like it's kind of a two-step process.
Yeah. Or like the only template they have for a love relationship is one
that
comes with pain or violence or lying or what, you know, whatever. And so then it's like, well, that template's meeting an unmet need, but how can we rearrange the template to meet the need in a different way? Or, you know, so I don't know. There's so many things. We can't get into nuances because we're talking generalizations, but like, I just, there is compassion for our decisions, no matter what they are. And we have to deal with the consequences of our actions on this human plane.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that wraps up today. Yeah, that felt Do you have good. Any final thoughts?
That was a nice little punctuation there. That felt very clean. Yeah.
Period. No.
Yeah. Period. Yeah.
So I'll shout out Gen Z. I feel like we got into our Akashic bag for sure. But yeah, if you guys have any questions, comments, whatever, like we're happy to hear them.
Yeah.
You know, comment on YouTube, comment on Instagram, Apple,
Spotify. Can you comment on those things? You can comment on Apple.
On Apple. Yeah. But also we have Patreon. Da-da-da-da. So you can always, for $5 a month, you can chat with us there too.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear your feedback and thoughts on.
Yeah. And we're going to open up like virtual meetups with us for Patreons, and you get a cool sticker.
You do get a really cool sticker.
Yeah.
Very cool sticker. So we will start doing those live meetups when I return from maternity leave. So after August. Thank you guys. Thank you for watching.
Hearing, listening. It's so nice. Yeah.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.